Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubis Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 17 lines from the top. In the middle of the line, you'll notice Bo Mine, Rav Yemar, Saba. Before we begin the Gemara text, though, let us glance at the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. You can see a diamond is featured, and we've written that the Gemara will deal with Mochra o Mochla Ksubasa, a woman sold, or she forfeited, Mochla, Mechila is to forego, she forfeited her Ksuba. Eich ze Mashpia Ksubas Bonin Dikrin. How does that have an effect on the issue, the institution of Ksubas Bonin Dikrin that we've been discussing in our recent Shiurim? Haim Bekach Mafsida. Through her selling of the Ksuba or foregoing the Ksuba, does that cause the Ksubas Bonin Dikrin aspect of her Ksuba to be lost? And hence the properties that she brought into the marriage and the properties that her husband had assigned to her will be then divided equally amongst all of her husband's children. The Gemara itself now begins 17 lines from the top. Bo mine Rav Yemar Sabo me Rav Nachman. Mochra Ksubasa Labaila. A woman sold her ksuba to her husband. Now, what does that mean to sell her ksuba to her husband? The ksuba is something that her husband owes her, and it also includes properties that she brought into the marriage. So what does that mean to sell it to her husband? It means as follows, that if her husband dies, and she would be the legal beneficiary of the ksuba, once she sold it, others would collect it in her stead. However, those outsiders, those are people that are buying her ksuba, really buying a right. It's a gamble they're taking, because if she dies in her husband's lifetime, he will inherit his wife, and those purchasers will be left with nothing. So they will have paid money to the woman. Obviously, the amount they're going to pay is not the amount that corresponds to the entire ksuba, but something less. It's a gamble that they're taking. So let us say she sold her ksuba to her husband, and the amount that she in this case, the amount she gets from her husband would be some kind of nominal amount, or some certainly less than the value of the ksuba itself. Apparently, you have a woman that needs money, and she's willing to do this. So she sells the ksuba to her husband. Later in the Gemara, if you just skim down, when you notice the next diamond, you'll see that she's mocheres the ksuba, and then there's a squiggle underline, lachirim. That squiggle underline is in contrast to labayla that we have right now. There she sells it to others. But in the meantime, we have her selling the ksuba to her husband. And we have a crown shape that appears now that highlights bonin dikrin, and it will highlight later the word mizonos. We'll make it clear as we go on in the Gemara, though. So she sells the... if a woman sold her ksuba to her husband, yesh lo ksubas bonin dikrin, o ein lo ksubas bonin dikrin, does the arrangement of ksubas bonin dikrin that, as I say, we've discussed already extensively in our recent shiurim, does that continue or not? Omar le Rava v'tiboya loch mocheles. Why don't you ask about a case of a woman who simply foregoes her ksuba, which is a more common case than a woman who sells her ksuba? Let us say she mocheles. Rashi says shehu davar motzui min hamecher. It's something more common. And if you'll say, well, here she's not getting anything, okay, but the main point is that when she's mocheles, so she is foregoing in her own lifetime any rights she has to the ksuba. Omar lay. So Rav Yemar Saba, who had asked the original question of Rav Nachman, now responds to Rava. Rava asked Rav Yemar, why didn't you ask about Mocheles? Why did Rav Yemar Saba choose to ask about Mochra? So he explains himself. Omar Lei, Hashta Mocheres Komi Bayale Li. I'm asking about a case of Mocheres, the Afal Gav, the Iko Lemeimar Zuzi Ansuha. It's there, in the case of a sale, one could argue, one could reason that she sold under duress, and she didn't do so much out of her own willingness. And still, I'm asking, does she lose, or do we cause a loss of ksubas banin dikrin? De amina, I figure that if a woman is selling her ksuba, it's as if she's being whipped with a whip with a metal tip to it. In other words, she's under duress. And still, even though it's a sale that's not so much with her own desire, her own initiative, but because of extenuating circumstances, and still, it could be that she's going to lose out on the benefit of ksubas dikrin to her children. Mocheles mibaya. Is there any reason for me to ask about mocheles? And mocheles is a case where the woman is acting on total volition, her own decision, no pressure upon her. She, out of the goodness of her heart, she's willing to forego her ksuba. So it's poshut there that if you would tell me that in the case of mocheres, where she's selling and there's an element of duress and still she's going to lose out, certainly in the case of mocheles, that's more obvious. Omar Rava, pshitoli. So Rava says, to me it's obvious. The following, we have noticed there are a series of diamonds, and they're numbered. We'll see how this case is case one, case two. These are obvious to me. And when you get to case three, you'll see that that's preceded by boy Rava. Case three is not clear. So case one, pshitoli, Rava says, mocheres ksubos l'achirim yesh lo ksubas bonin dikren. If a woman sells her ksuba to others, and as we said before, if she dies, then her husband is going to inherit her. And once her husband inherits her, after she sold it to others, so then the properties that she brought in, or the properties that were written into her ksuba, will be inherited by her own children. That's what we mean, yesh lo ksubas banin dikrin. My taima, why is that so? Why, by her selling it to others, does she not lose out? Zuzi ansua. She was under duress, of some type of duress, some type of extenuating circumstances. She didn't really want to forego the ksuba. Now that the achirim didn't get the ksuba, the outsiders don't get it because she died first and her husband inherited her, she's all too happy that her own children will get the ksuba, the properties that were written into her ksuba. Moicheles ksubasa labayla. If you have a woman that willingly foregoes her ksuba to her husband, to the benefit of her husband, ein lo ksubas bonen dikrin. she is thereby foregoing on the benefits of Ksubas Bon and Dikrin for her own sons. My taima achule achilta. If you ask why is that, the answer is because she was willing on her own to give up on it, to forego it. Boy Rava Mocheres Ksubasa Libaila. What about a woman who sells her ksuba to her husband? In exchange for that, he pays her some small amount. If she dies before him, so he inherits from her anyway. The idea of his buying it from her is that if he dies first, so she would be the one to inherit it, so then she would not get her ksuba. If we look in the Rashi across from here, Mocheres Labaila, Nami, Toivas Hano Ba'alma, that's an expression that Rashi used above in the Dibor Masl Mocheres Ksubas Lacherim. Toivas Hano represents a small amount of money that's paid relative to the entire sum of the Ksuba. It's a small amount that the husband gave her. Dovar Muat, Sharei Im Mesa. If she dies in the husband's lifetime, Yorsha V'eino Lokeach Mimeno. He inherits from her. He's not considered a purchaser of hers. Elo She Meishu, by the husband having purchased the ksuba from her, if the husband dies, leaving her a widow, Lo Tigve, she won't collect the ksuba. Vare Lo Meis Uba Lide Yerusha. And here, he doesn't die. She dies first. He inherits her. Hilkoch kemocheres lachirim domi. So from that standpoint, it's like she sold it to others. And when that happens, and she dies first, so the others don't get anything. The husband gets it. And like we said in the case of mocheres ksuba lachirim, we say that there is ksubas bon and dikrin. So now the Gemara. The case, once again, Rava's question involves Mocheres Ksubasa Labaila. Kemocheres Lacherim Domi. Is it like she sold it to an outsider? And we explained before that in that case, the Ksubas Bon and Dikrin institution is preserved, and her sons will eventually inherit her Ksuba. Oh, Kemocheles Labaila Domi. Or is it viewed like her simply forfeiting the ksuba in favor of her husband? Boser debaya hoder poshta. After Rava raised the question, he then answered, Mecheres ksuba labaila ke mecheres lachirim domi. Selling to a husband is like selling it to outsiders, and there remains ksubas bon and dikrin. A question is now raised, lasting a few lines. Mosiv Rav Idi Bar Ovin. Rav Idi quotes a source that's quoted here quite tersely. It deals with a woman, a married woman, whose husband went abroad, and she thought that her husband wasn't going to come back, and she married a second man, and then the first husband did come back. In the meantime, she produced a second set of children with the second husband. Of course, when the first husband comes back, those second children are mamzerim. She was a married woman marrying a second man, creating a situation of children who are mamzerim, are illegitimate. Now, with that background, Mesa, when that woman dies, Ein Yorshim Shelzeh, V'Ein Yorshim Shelzeh, Yorshim Ksubasa. There are two sets of children here. And this woman represents a woman that had two ksubas from her first husband and from her second husband. So neither set of children will inherit her ksuba. V'havinon ba, and we ask, subasa mai avidita, what's the issue of a ksuba here, especially from the second husband? There's no ksuba. She was illegitimately married to him. And we know that when the Mishnah there in Yevoma says that she doesn't get a ksuba. The Omar Rav Papa, ksubas bonin dikrin. What we're referring to here is that, of course, that woman is not entitled to a ksuba. But what about the children that she produced? And she had a ksuba with a dowry that was promised to her when she entered the marriage. So those properties that she brought into the marriage will not be inherited by the two separate sets of children respectively. If we take a look at the Rashi, V'yomar Rav Papa, Ksubas Bonin Dikrin, V'achi Komar, what the source in this Tanaic source is teaching us is Mesa Hi B'chayeshneim, when that woman dies in the lifetime of those two men, V'yorshua Haim, and those husbands inherited her, namely whatever property she brought into those respective marriages they inherit, Ein Bonim Shieshla Mizeh U'Mizeh Noitlin Ksubas Imon, the two sets of sons that she has from these two men will not inherit any of those properties that she had brought into her respective marriages. All of the properties will be pooled equally. The Gemara says, Ve'amai, why do you say that? Achonami lema yetzer onsa. Just like you said before, that if there's an element of ones, an element of some like duress, something beyond her control, we say that the ksubas bonin dikrin is preserved. So why not say the same thing over here? That would mean that the Ksubas Bonin Dikrin institution remains. And what over here is the element of duress? Yetzer Onsa, that she when she thought that her first husband was dead, so she was overcome with a great desire. That great desire is called the Yetzer, to have a husband. And that's what caused her to marry the second man. And why should those children lose out from the Ksubas Bonin Dikrin possibility? Now, if I'm not mistaken, when we speak about Ksubas Bonin Dikrin in this case, you have to imagine that these two men had other marriages with other women, producing additional sets of sons. And we're talking about a case where the woman dies in their lifetime. So the issue is, The properties that this particular woman brought into her respective marriages, are they going to be inherited by her sons, or are they going to be distributed equally amongst the sons of those men whom she had been married to? So in the Tanaic source is saying that those properties are going to be distributed equally amongst the respective sons of those men, and not her own sons receiving the properties that she had brought into her marriages. So, very briefly, the question that's being raised here is, once you answer, like Rava did before, that Mocher's Ksubas Labailu is like Mocher's Lacherim, there's an element of Ones, an element of something beyond her total control, then we preserve Ksubas Bonin Dikrin. That would be the case over here too, in the story of the woman who thought that her husband was dead and married a second man. Why in that case, we call it that the Yevomis case, why do we say that there is no Ksubas Bonin Dikrin? The Gemara answers, Hasam Knosahu de Konsua Rabbonan. There is a type of fine that was imposed on her, that we impose on her to lose out on that privilege, because she wasn't careful enough when she married the second husband. Yosef Rovin Bar Chanina, Kamei de Rav Chisda, Yosef v'Ko'omar, Mishmei de Rav Elozer. So Ravin said over, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Moicheles ksubasa lebayla, ein law mizonas. Here, we're the same, we'll say the same action is happening, but a different topic. Mocheles, we saw before the case of a woman who forfeited her ksuba to the benefit of her husband. Here, she likewise is forfeiting the benefit of her ksuba to the benefit of her husband. And it says she doesn't get mizonos, of course, when she becomes an almona. When she becomes an almona, the time at which she would have received the ksuba, but she had already been mocheles the ksuba, along with that goes her mizonos, her food rights. Omar lay, Rav Chisda, upon hearing this, that which Ravin said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rav Chisda reacts, Ilav de koamris li mishmei de gavra rabo. Had you not said this over in the name of a great man, namely Rabbi Elazar, if you would have just said this on your own, Hava amin aloch, I would have responded to you, how could this be? Meshiv ro tachas toivo lo somush ro mi beso. Paying in exchange for good, in exchange for a favor, she gets paid back with loss, with bad. In other words, here's a woman that was kind enough to forfeit the ksuba payment to her husband, to the benefit of her, say, her husband's family. So she was willing to forego that. She has to lose something else. So she has to lose the mizonos as well. It's not right. That's what the Pasuk in Mishlei says, that when you do someone a favor, you don't expect to get paid back with a loss. Nevertheless, the halacha that was said by Ravin, quoting Rabbi Elazar, that when the ksuba is forfeited, along with it goes all the, we'll say, the ksuba rights, we call the tna'e ksuba, the conditions that are included in the ksuba. The ksuba represents the basic mona mosayim, the basic 200 zuz that are paid to a basula, who a basula marriage. And then there are all the additional conditions that we've discussed extensively till now, and those conditions, those additional benefits include redemption from captivity and receiving mizonos payments, and by her having forfeited, though, her ksuba to her husband, she loses those benefits. The Gemara continues, Yosef Rav Nachman Ve'ula Ve'avimi Bar Rav Popi. We have three rabbis sitting here. The Yosef Rav Chia Bar Ami Gabayo, and Rav Chia was sitting along with them. Osahu Gavro Deshchivo Arusoso. A man came in whose Arusa died. Arusa is his, basically it's his wife, but she died before they consummated the marriage with the Nisuin. In other words, she died after the first stage of the marriage. The first stage whereby, as we said, she's considered married, but not in the fullest sense. They didn't consummate their marriage with the chuppah. And Amri Lei, the three rabbis, said to him, Zil Kvar, you have to bury her. You have to pay for her burial. Uy, have lo ksubasa. Or relinquish the ksuba. Now, she's dead, so obviously you're not going to pay her the ksuba. But you would have to give it to her heirs. Omar lehu Rav Chia. Rav Chia, who heard this, he responds with a rejection of their ruling. Tanina, we have learned in the following source. Ishtoi Arusa, a man whose wife, a man who has a Ishto Arusa, a man has a wife at the first stage of marriage, and if she dies in his lifetime, lo oinein velo metamela, he doesn't practice the rules of Aninus, which are special rules applying to the first day of death. Rashi says, Li Osir Bekotshim, an Onain is not allowed to eat sacrificial meat, but He is not with that restriction, and if he's a Kohen, he's not allowed to defile himself to her. V'chein he, in the event that the Orus, the husband at the Orus, Erusin stage dies, lo onenes, v'lo mitam aloi, she's not, she doesn't practice the rules, the adinim of aninus, and she's not obligated to defile herself to him. V'lo, and meso, eino, Yorsha. If the Arusa dies, so the Orus does not inherit her. Mace who, if he dies, Gova Ksubasa, then she collects a Ksuba. When, by the way, when it says here, Mace saw, when she dies, Eino Yorshi doesn't inherit. It's a reference to the Nidunya, the dowry that she was going to bring into the marriage. Well, he does not inherit that. And we continue in the in this Gemara with an inference. Taima de Mace Hu. The source said that if he dies, she collects the Ksuba. That's because he died. Ha Mesahi. If she would have died, Ain la ksuba. She doesn't get the ksuba. My taima, why not? Omer Rav Hoshaya, she'ein ani korei ba, because I can't refer to her the following. L'cheshitinasi li'achir titli ma shekosuv lechi. When the couple gets married and a ksuba is written out, this is the expression that appears. It says, when you marry your next husband, then collect the ksuba. Well, she's dead. She's not going to be marrying another man. So she's not in a position to collect the ksuba. So how in the world could they say to this Orus, either you bury her or you give her, which as we said, when her family, her ksuba. But there's no ksuba to be paid. Ki osa rovin omar reish lokish. Arusa shemesa ein lo ksuba. Well, what Rovin is quoting in the name of Reish Lokish is basically that which we already learned. We underline arusa shemesa. It's like that which we underlined above, the shchiva arusaso. So when Ravin came, he quoted Reish Lakish. When Ravin came to Bavel, he quoted Reish Lakish, who was in Eretz Yisrael. He said, "The Arus Lata, she does not get a ksuba." This is exactly what we just learned. It was essentially Rav Chiya's response again, along with Rav Hoshaya's explanation. So Omar Luhu Abaye says to Ravin and anyone that was along with him, Zilu Amri Lay, go tell him. And we continue at the top of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, Shkila Tivusech, take your favor. You thought that by telling us this halacha we'd be indebted to you. Take your favor, Shadio Achizri, throw it on the thorn bushes. Kvar Tirgimo Rav Hoshaya Lishmaitse Bebovel. Rav Hoshaya already said over that teaching to us here in Bovel. So that Ravin was probably all excited that he had this information from Eretz Yisrael in the name of Reish Lakish. And Abaye says, what you're telling us, we've already heard in the name, Rav Hoshaya already told us that. And if you notice how we've marked the Gemara very carefully, we have a dot underlined Rav Hoshaya's name, and we also have little stars to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text connecting these points together. Now, we continue with the second line from the top of Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Benon Nukvin Dihavion Lichi Minoi. The Tanai Ksuba that we're focusing on now has to do with the clause where the daughters that we have, the husband is saying to the wife, the daughters that we have, will derive mizonos from my properties. Of course, we're talking about a situation where the man dies, he leaves sons, he leaves daughters, the daughters will derive mizonos from his properties, and we saw in the Mishnah, ad detilokhoin leguvin, until they're taken by men, until they're married. On the side of the Gemara, we have an Osei topic heading, ad mosai nizoinus habas, achar misus ha'av, b'tanai aksuba. Until when is a daughter supported from her father's properties based on the conditions of the ksuba? Rav Toni, we turn back to the Gemara. You'll notice we have an Aleph over Rav's name, and then Levi also, he's Bays, two opinions, and we'll see how they can coexist or not. Rav Toni, Adati Lokhin Leguvin. Rav has, as the text of the Mishnah, like we have, that the girls receive their support until they're married. Levi Toni, Adati Vgiron. Levi, who was the author of Tanaic sources, Levi's version of our Mishnah, at least, is until Bagrus, until age 12 and a half. So now the Gemara asks, with a tone of wonderment, with Tamiha, Le Rav Afagav de Bogar, the Levi Afagav de Insiv, according to Rav, are you suggesting, is Rav suggesting that until they're married, even after they're 12 and a half, they could be, if they get married at age 35, they're going to continue getting mizonos? And because Rav said until they're married, well, yeah, that's pretty open-ended until they get married. Even if they cross the Bagrus line of age, and with regard to Levi, Levi says, Adi Tivgaron. Does that mean that even if Afagav the Insiv, even if they get married under age 12 and a half, so you have a girl that's in effect married, she's not yet 12 and a half, and she's going to continue drawing sustenance from her father's estate? Could that be? Rashi adds a little more to help us out on our understanding. On the second line from the top, the Rav Afagav de Bogar, is according to Rav, are we to think that until they get married means that it'll continue even after they've become bogros? Follow Bagrus Motsim Rishusav. The age of 12 and a half, halachically speaking, removes her from her father's domain. Veloma tizo mi beso. Why should she continue drawing sustenance from her father's house? Bain the Rebbe, Bain the Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon, Shnechliku Bedover, Beperek Metzia Seisha, Beisur Nechosim. There's a machlokas regarding another aspect of monies that a girl receives. Moidim Bemezonis, the Bain Nosu, Bain Bogru of the Mizonos. There's agreement, though, regarding the Mizonos payment, that whether they're married or they reach Bagrus, they lose out on the Mizonos. So the Gemara continues. We're trying to understand the positions of Rav and Levi. Ela, Bogar velo Insiv, Insiv velo Bogar. If you have a girl that became a Bogaris, even if she's not married, or she got married even though she didn't reach Bagrus, Bekulei Alma lo Pligi, everyone is in agreement that she will not get Mizonos. Ki Pligi, the machlokus between Rav and Levi, Ba'arusa velo Bogar. A girl became an Arusa before age 12 and a half. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ki pligi ba'arusa. We've double underlined the key names here, Rav and then Levi. Rav omar ad tilokhin kicha de erusin. When Rav says, like the text of our Mishnah, de tilokhin kicha from vayikach, that word kicha indicates even erusin. Afilu lo bogar, even if she's not bogeres, she will not get mizonos anymore. Ula Levi, o tivgeron, o yinosu v'yetsim rishosav legamri ki bagrus. Levi emphasized bagrus. Bagrus represents a complete departure from father's realm, father's domain. In the case of marriage, it's only after the second stage of marriage, the nisuin, do we say that she completely leaves her father's domain, so that when you're using marriage as the standard for losing out on the continued mizonos, it would have to be the stage of marriage that's like Bagrus, and that would be the Nisuin stage. Now back in the Gemara, V'chein Toni Levi B'masnise. Levi was the author of Brisa, so in his Brisa literature, he wrote the following, Ad Detivgiron, and there's a little phrase in a brackets which we skip initially, the language within it is not accurate. So Levi says that she receives mizonos until Bagrus, Oy Yamti Zimnehon Li'isnasba. This literally means, or until the time for her nisuin has arrived. Yamti Zmeinhon is arrival of time for their marriage. That's a reference to another point that we've learned in the past. A basula is given 12 months from the time that the Orus says, let us go ahead to and enter Nisuin. She has 12 months to prepare herself. So when that time passes, so then the husband must support her. She doesn't derive a mizonos from her father's estate. So as far as Levi is concerned, until she'll receive mizonos until Bagrus, or if she became an arusa, if she became an arusa, let's say at age 10, so she'll continue to draw mizonos until, let's roughly speaking, assuming that at age 10 she became an arusa and the husband said, let us do nisuin, so she'll continue receiving mizonos until 11 years age, plus of the passage of 12 months, since he was toveya her once he sought her out for nisuin. Now we skipped a bracketed section, so let's read the source again. Ad de Tivgeron, she receives mizonos until Bagrus, Viamti Zimnehon de In Sivan, and the time for her marriage has arrived. So the Tarti, the Gemara asks, so both things, both she'll continue receiving mizonos until both conditions are met. Ela Oi Tivgeron. Oy Yamti Zimneon Lisnasba. What Levi meant is that, well, if she wasn't married at all, so she'd continue receiving mizonos until Bagrus. However, if she did enter the marital process, she'll receive mizonos when the 12-month period lapses since the beginning of the first stage of the marriage, as we illustrated before. Kitanoi. The issue is a machlokes tanoim. Ad mosai habas mizonos. Until when does a daughter derive mizonos from her deceased father's estate? Ad shete ares. Until she reaches erusin. And that would be along the lines of what Rav taught before. Mishum Reb Elozer Amru, in the name of Reb Elozer, they said ad shetivgar. Until she reaches Bagrus. And we, in order to appreciate this source, we have to impose the explanation that we gave before, that Ad Shetiris, that's pretty straightforward, until she reaches Erusin, and of course, assuming that she has not become a Bogeris yet, and Ad Shetivgar means she'll, until Bagrus, assuming that she hasn't entered any state of marriage yet. Toni Rav Yosef, Ad Dehavyon. Rav Yosef, in understanding the Mishnah, he doesn't have ad tilokhin leguvrin, but he has this expression, ad dehavyon. The root of that is the word havaya, it's the word to be. And Ibayalah, we ask, havaya de erusin or havaya de nisuin? When Rav Yosef teaches in a Tanaic source, this is a very brief quote, but when he teaches until she's havyon, until she enters marriage, what aspect of marriage are you referring to? Are you saying, like Rav said, that until havaya, the Pasuk says Vahoisol Ishacher. The word Havaya, the verb form of to be, is rooted in the Torah Pasuk of Vahoisa. Vahoisa Liish, the Pasuk says, and she is unto a man. So it's not clear, though, that which Rav Yosef says? Is it the connection to a man through the first, at the first stage of marriage? Up till then, she receives the mazonos, or ad havaya de nisuin, or until the havaya, the completion, the consummation of the marriage at the nisuin stage, and that, namely, up till that point, she would draw the mazonos. Teku. So that remains unclear. As we scan ahead in the Gemara, we have some markings, and that draws our attention to the side, where we have a nosei, mivne, heading. A triangle is featured, and we call this number one, arusa yasoima, haim yesh lo mizonos mino achim. These questions, we should have pointed out by just that we overlooked the note just before this. There's a mivne. The triangle is featured. There's sidra shel noshim shalem agmor shel sa'im yesh lem mizonos. There's a series of women concerning whom the Gemara will be asking, do these women receive mizonos? So if you scan ahead in the Gemara, use the markings and the numbering that you have just to give you an overview of the Gemara. You see numberings along the left-hand side of the Gemara text, scanning down. You see a 1, 2, 3, 4. Each one of these introduces a question, and the numbering continues till Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. You see a 5 and a 6. All of these are mizonos questions as they relate to different situations of women. So we can turn to the Gemara. Omar le Rav Chisda le Rav Yosef. Rav Chisda asks Rav Yosef, Mi shmi aloch minei de Rav Yehuda? You, Rav Yosef, who learned by Rav Yehuda, did you hear from him, Aruso yesh lo mezonos o ein lo mezonos? Does an Arusa receive mezonos? Of course, when we speak about an Arusa, Rashi adds an Arusa, that's a Yesoima, her father died. She's entered the stage of Erusin, and our question is, does she get mizonos from his estate or not? Now, if you have this feeling of deja vu right now, then like, didn't we just discuss this? You're not imagining things. There's a Tosfos in the narrow lines, halfway down the page, Arusa yesh lo mizonos, ein lo mizonos, lo shmia le plukta de tanoi liel. Rav Chisda, in asking this question, the first pshat in Tosfos is that Rav Chisda wasn't familiar with the machlokis tanoim that we had before. We should point out that the Amoraim were fluent in Mishnayos, but Brisa literature was not something that you automatically expect an Amora to have known. So the first approach is that simply Rav Chisda is asking a question, though we dealt with it as a machlokis tanoim, but that was not found in Mishnaic literature. And another pshat, inami shmiele umiboyele hefi hilchisop. Another possibility is Rav Chisda was familiar with that machlokis tanoim, but he's asking here, what is the halacha? So we continue in the Gemara. And notice that there's an aleph and beis, and on the side of the Gemara, the aleph and beis represent shnei lishonos hafuchos bedusiach bein Rav Yosef and Rav Chisda, two opposite versions of the discussion that ensues between Rav Chisda and Rav Yosef. The double underline highlights the word misvora. In other words, even though I don't have a formal tradition from Rav Yehuda, I will answer you based on my logic. And you'll see a dashed underlining that highlights the expressions islay versus leslay. She gets islaw, that is, or leslaw. She does receive or not receive. Yesh litzayin, denoseze koshu lenoise hakoidem. We already pointed that out, that this discussion is connected to the discussion above. All right, now that we've laid out the structure of this Gemara, let's continue. Omar Le, version Aleph. This is the first Loshon. Rav Yosef says, Mishma lo shmieli. I didn't hear from Rav Yehuda. Ela misvora les law. But based on a svora, she will not continue to derive mizonos from her father's estate, namely from her brothers. Kevon de Irsa, since she's entered a first level of marriage, and now and she needs food, doesn't she? Lo nichole de titzil. Her oros, her husband, is not going to find it pleasant that she should be without food. In other words, if they don't give her, she's not going to end up begging. She's not going to end up knocking on doors. He will take care of her. So since there's someone to take care of her, there's no reason for her to continue drawing from her father's estate, taking from her brother's inheritance. The Rashi points out that the whole takona of mezonos, of food for the daughter from her father's estate, is that she shouldn't be subjected to indignation, begging at doors. But that's not going to happen over here, because there's an oros who it's beneath his dignity that his wife-to-be, should be in that position. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Lay, Rav Chista says to Rav Yosef, he says, in all due respect, he mishmalo shmialoch, if you didn't hear from Rav Yehuda, then misvora, if you're already going to be advancing your own personal logic, I'll give you my opposite logic. Misvora is law. She should continue drawing from her brothers, and you can't have her rely on the oros. Kevon de lo kim le begava, lo shodi zuzi bichti. The oros, as we said, it's a first stage of marriage. They haven't been together in intimacy yet. He doesn't know exactly. Her physical status, for example, he might discover some type of major blemish on her, and if that does arise, so then the everything is off. So in this, we'll call this interim period after Erusin, before Nisuin, he's not going to spend money on a woman that might end up being a total stranger to him if he should discover a blemish, a moom. So he's not going to shodi zuzi bichtis, to throw out his money for nothing. So he's not going to do that. You can't rely on the orus supporting her. V'ikah d'amri. Now the same Gemara, but in an opposite direction. Omar le, Rav Yosef says to Rav Chista, upon hearing the question about does an arusa whose father died get mezonos from her brothers or not, from the father's estate. So Rav Yosef says, mishma lo shmili, I did not hear from Rav Yehuda, misvora, however, through logic, is law. Logic says that she gets from her brothers. Kevon de lo kim le begava, since the oros isn't sure about her status, and as we said, he might discover a mum, and then everything will be off. Lo shadi zuzi bichti, the oros is not someone you can rely on. He's not going to throw out his money for nothing. Omar le, so Rav Chista says back, if you didn't hear anything from Rav Yehuda and you're basing yourself something on logic, misvora less law. From my logic, she should not receive from her brothers. Kevanti irsa, since there is an oros, there's a husband in the picture. Lo nichole the titzel. If they're not going to support her, the husband isn't going to let her beg subject yourselves to indignation. He will support her. It's not to his liking that his wife should be subjected to indignation. So there's someone to take care of her anyway. So there's no reason to draw from the brothers and the estate that they inherited. Simon de Gavri Sak Zoraf Miana Vyivma Shnia Arusa Vionsa. What the Gemara is presenting to us is a series of words that help to remember the sugya that we will be seeing very shortly. The expression Sak Zoraf is an abbreviation of names that will appear, and you can see we have a little note on the side that the letters refer to Rav Sheshes, Reish Lakish, Rav Elazar, Rava, and Rav Papa. And the topics that are featured are Miun and Yibum, Shnia Rusa Ve'anosa. So we have a number of topics, and now we the Gavri are the rabbis are Sak Zoraf, and the topics are Me'ana Vimo, etc. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei, a topic heading. Now, for us, we're considering this triangle number two because we're continuing with the general topic of Miun. And topic number two, as we read on the side, Mima'enes, Yesh Lo Mezonos Me'acheha Oiloi. Just a word about Mima'enes. We've seen this also in the past, but if you're a first-time listener, so understand that a girl is married off by her father on a Torah level. Midoraisa, father can marry off his daughter. In the event that the father is out of the picture, just a simple case, the father died, rabbinically speaking, a mother or brother can marry her off to somebody. That's a rabbinic marriage. And if she, the girl, should decide before age 12 that she wants out, she's mima'enes. She refuses to continue with him and walks out. And she's no longer married. She doesn't need even a get. She doesn't need a divorce document. So now the Gemara. Bomine me rav sheshes mima'enes. She's a ktana, yesoma. She's an orphan. Her father is no longer alive. She was married to a man and through the rabbinic marriage and then walked out. Yesh lo mezonos o ein lo mezonos. Does she draw mezonos until she becomes a bogeris? As we mentioned, a miun, that the whole institution applies to a girl that's a minor. She's under 12 years old. Now, she's walked away from her rabbinic husband. We say rabbinic husband means a husband that to whom she was married, rabbinically speaking. Not that the husband's a rabbi. But she's now still a minor. Does she draw mezonos until Bagrus or not? Or do we say that the fact that she entered this rabbinic form of marriage that takes her that removes her completely from any association with her father's home, with her father's estate? So now the Gemara. Omar Luhu Rav Sheshes. Tanisuha. Rav Sheshes, by the way, was the first name in that simon that we had four lines above, Sak Zoraf. So Rav Sheshes says, Tanisua, and this, by the way, is a long answer, so which we've marked off accordingly. Rav Sheshes says you can answer the question from the following Tanaic source. In this source, we're going to see a Tanakama and Rav Yehuda. After we read the source, and we hear Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara is going to ask, what Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying is the same as the Tanakama. What's the point of difference? And when we get to that, then we'll focus on the case of Mima'enes. So now the source says, Almona Beves Aviha. This means a woman who became an Almona from the stage of Erusin. She entered marriage, but within the first stage of marriage, the husband divorced her. That's an Almona Beves Aviha. Grusha Beves Aviha. Did I say, if I made a mistake, Almona means the husband died from the state of Erison. Grusha, she was divorced from the state of Erison. V'shomeres Yavam Beves Aviha. Yesh Lo Mezonos. Shomeres Yavam, a woman whose husband died, and she is died from the state of Erison, and she's waiting for the brother-in-law to marry her. And that during that time, she gets mezonos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oida Beves Aviha Yesh Lo Mezonos, Eino Beves Aviha Ein Lo Mezonos. Rabbi Yehuda says, if she's still in her father's house, she gets mezonos, and if she's not in her father's house, in other words, she's not associated with her father's house, she doesn't get mezonos. So, well, Rabbi Yehuda Haina Tanakama, that's what the Tanakama also emphasized. It said Tanakama kept emphasizing Beves Aviha each time. So they seem to be saying the same thing. Elolav Mima'enes. It must be that the point of difference between them is the case of a Mima'enes. The Tanakama Sovar Yisla, the Tanakama is of the opinion that she does continue to receive mizonos, and Rebuta Sovar Lesla, and Rebuta says no. Let's take a look at now the Rashi, Tanakama Sovar Mima'enes. It's not Rashi we're looking at, Sovar. Line or two up from where we are in the Gemara. Vochi Komar, Almona Beve Sovia Vechule. The Tanakama began by saying the Almona, who's in her father's house, Vuadin Le Mima'enes. Same thing with regard to the Mima'enes. The Ein Kan Nisuin. There is no marriage. It's not as if she entered Nisuin. Da'akusinu. By her doing Miun, she uproots the marriage that she had. So it's as if it's starting back at zero. So she's still a minor daughter in her father's estate. V'yoser Rebuta Lememar, Oyde Bevesavia. Rebuta used that expression, Oyde Bevesavia. If she's still in her father's house, means Betchilasa. She's still there, meaning from the beginning, she's still there as she was at the beginning. Shalayosa Mishom bin Nisuin. She didn't leave the father's house in any form of Nisuin. Yeshlo Mizonos Afa Mishyotsa bin Nisuin. Once she left the father's house in any form of marriage consummation, Ein Law. Even if it's a rabbinic marriage consummation, she nevertheless no longer will be eligible for Mizonos. As we continue in the Gemara, triangle number 3, on the side, the title is Bas Yevoma Umezonos. Boi Reish Lokish. Bas Yevoma. Yesh lo mezonos o ein lo mezonos. So now we have to explain what this is. We touched on the issue of Yibum before. You imagine you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven died leaving an almona, leaving a widow without any children. Shimon, his brother, marries the almona, and now they have a daughter. When Shimon dies, does that daughter get mizonos from her father's estate? You might ask, well, why shouldn't she get? Well, you should realize that the ksuba, which is the root of a daughter receiving mizonos from father's estate, the ksuba is not really, when it's the ksuba that this almona has, is not a ksuba that she received from the yavam, i.e. the girl's father. The ksuba was from the girl's uncle, in effect, the deceased man who had no children. And the almona, the yevoma, when her husband dies, she gets paid by virtue of the ksuba of her first husband. So she's getting a ksuba not from the girl's father. So the girl's out of the picture, possibly. Let's see how the Gemara analyzes this. So Reish Lakish's question regarding the Bas Yevoma, does she get mizonos or not? Two sides of the question. Aleph, Kevon di Omar Mar Ksubosa al Nichsei Baila Rishon Lesla, since it was stated that the Yevoma herself, the mother, herself gets her ksuba from the estate of her first husband, so the girl doesn't have mizonos, because that's not her father's estate. It's her uncle's estate. Oy Dilma, or possibly there's another consideration. Kevon de e les lo me rishon. In the event that the deceased first husband has no property, takinu le rabbanan misheni. The rabbanan instituted that the yavam himself must provide the ksuba. So there's a potential ksuba from her father, from the girl's father, Isla, that is enough to entitle her to mizonos teku. So this remains unresolved. Boy Rebelozer. Number 4 we feature on the side is Bas Shnia Umizonos. There are women that a person is forbidden to marry on a Torah level, and there are women that a person is forbidden to marry on a rabbinic level. In Maseches Yevamos, there's an entire list of those kind of women. Different types of, we'll say, relatives that one on a Torah level could marry, but on a rabbinic level is not allowed to marry. A man went ahead and violated the rabbinic ruling, married a woman that's usher to him on a rabbinic level, has a daughter, the man dies, does that daughter get mizonos? Boy, Rebbe Lazar, bas shniya, yesh lo mizonos, so ain lo mizonos. The word shniya is a reference to the woman forbidden to marry on a rabbinic level. Shniya l'arayas means not first level, shniya means second, but that's not front line arayas that the Torah prohibits, but it's a second level arayas, that arayas meaning forbidden women that the rabbis prohibited. Now the daughter of that marriage, does she get mizonos or not? We continue at the top of Daf Nun Dalid. Again, two sides of analysis of the question. Kevon de leslo ksuba leslo mizoni. Since the mother gets no ksuba, there's no ksuba, so there are no ksuba conditions or clauses, and therefore there's no mizonos for the daughters, because that concept of daughters getting mizonos was something that's a tanai ksuba. If there's no basic ksuba, so there's no tanai ksuba. Oy, Dilma. Or possibly ima the avda isura konsura bonon. The mother who violated a rabbinic ruling, so the mother loses out on a ksuba. The law of the isura, the girl, their daughter didn't do any isur, lo konsura bonon. Maybe regarding the daughter, she's provided with mizonos from her father's estate. She's not fined to lose out. She didn't commit any sin. Teku. This remains unresolved. Number 5. On the side, we have Bas Arusa Umezonos. A daughter of a man who didn't actually enter the chuppah with the girl's mother. Rashi says on the second line from the top, Bas Arusa, Haboal Arusa, so Vyolda lo, Umeis, Veloi Bonim, Yeshal Mizonos, Bechosa Volo. This is a situation that we say is not the best situation. It's we'll call it a low level halachic violation, and that is a man who didn't wait for the chuppah and cohabited with his arusa. Technically speaking, that's called his wife, and she conceived and had a daughter. And now this particular man had sons, and there's this daughter. Does she get mizonos from the estate or not? Boy, Rava, Bas Aruso, yesh lo mizonos o ein lo mizonos. Once again, two sides of analysis. Kevon de is lo ksuba is lo. Since there is a ksuba, Rashi says on the third line from the top, Kevon de'islo ksuba kagon she kosav lo mino erison inami rabbonon tikun nami la rusa. Either the Oros wrote a ksuba early in the game. He wrote it from the stage of erison, which is unusual. Usually the ksuba is written at the time of the chuppah, but he wrote it early. Or even if he doesn't write it, the Rabbonin instituted that an Arusa who becomes an Almona, she gets a basic ksuba. Some Tanaim hold she gets everything. In fact, even if there's a Tosefes ksuba, she gets that too. But she gets a basic ksuba from a Takonas Rab Chachomim. So do we say that based on that there is mizonos? Oy Dilma, we continue in the Gemara. Oy Dilma, kevon de lo tokinu rabbonon ksuba ad shas nisuin. Since the rabbinic enactment states that a ksuba is not written until the time of nisuin, and here this girl was conceived and born before that happened, less law. So she's not entitled to the ksuba. Teku. So that remains unresolved. The sixth triangle is the case of Bas Anusa and Mizonos. What's a Bas Anusa? A man raped a woman And upon doing so, the Torah expects the man to marry the woman. This couple produces a daughter. The underlying issue is, what is the rule, or is there the presence of a ksuba with regard to this kind of, we'll say, Torah-imposed marriage? The Torah forces the man, if, of course, the rape victim agrees to marry him, the Torah enforces him to marry her, and in fact, he cannot divorce her, as per the teaching of the Torah. Bas, so boy Rav Papa, bas anusa, yesh lo mizonos o ein lo mizonos. Aliba de Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda lo tibach. According to Rabbi Yossi, I'm not asking my question. The Omar yesh lo ksubamona. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, an anusa is entitled to a ksuba of 100 zuz. So there is a ksuba, and with the ksuba, so there's the tanai ksuba as well. The girl would certainly receive mizonos. Kiti boyloch aliba de rabbonon de amri. I'm asking my question according to the rabbonon who say yotza kesef knosa b'ksubasa. My, when a rape takes place, the rapist has to pay 50 shekel kesef to the father. So the rabbonon hold that money is, we'll say, in lieu of a ksuba. So that so as far as the rabbonon is concerned, there's no formal ksuba. My, what is the law regarding the daughter and her drawing mizonos from her father's estate when he dies? Kevon de leslo ksuba leslo mizoni. Since there's no formal ksuba, so there's no mizonos for the girl. Oidilma, or maybe we have to look into things on a deeper level. And it's as follows. Ksuba taimo mai. Why is there a ksuba in the first place? Kedei shalote kalo bi'enov lotzia. A ksuba is instituted so that men who marry women should not feel it too easy to divorce their wives at the drop of a hat. When a man decides to divorce his wife, he'll think twice because he knows he has to pay a lot of money upon her divorce. Now, in this particular case, that the idea of lehotzio isn't even an option. The holo motzi mapik law. This is a marriage that took place on the heels of a rape having taken place. In other words, because he raped her, he marries her, and the Torah says, you're not allowed to divorce her. You don't need the ksuba as the deterrent. There's a built-in deterrent, so that the foregoing of the ksuba isn't because there's no ksuba per se, but there's no need for the ksuba. But that's the reason that there's no ksuba here. And with that analysis in mind, it's as if there is a ksuba. And therefore, that would be reason for the girl to receive mizonos, teiku. That remains unresolved. Toni Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef teaches a Tanaic source, which in effect is maybe we'll call it a diuk on that which our Mishnah mentioned. Our Mishnah said, Atehe Yasva Bevesi, the almona remains in the house. And I emphasize here the word house. She remains in the house of her husband and continues to draw mizonos. That's the text of the Mishnah. And Rav Yosef teaches, Toni Rav Yosef, Bevesi velo Beviksi. Biksi is a hut. From the fact that the Mishnah said, and we say the Tanai Ksuba states, that the Almona continues living in where? In the house, not in the hut. If a man dies leaving children and he had been living with the wife in a hut, and the husband's no longer alive, she does not stay there. She leaves. The children continue living in the hut. What about mizonos? Because the text of the ksuba was that when he dies, she continues in the house and receives mizonos. Maybe there's room to think that if she's not going to continue in the house, no more mizonos. So Rav Yosef teaches as follows: Bevesi velo bevixi, avol mizoni isla. She gets mizonos. They'll send food packages to her father's house, where we'll assume she'll be dwelling. Mar baravashi yomer afila mizoni nami lesla. No, she doesn't get mizonos. We don't expect them to send food packages to her father's house. Veles hilchisa kemar baravashi. The Gemara itself rules unlike Mar baravashi, who had denied her continued receiving of mizonos. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.